No anyway, longer hot.
Hey, listen, I don't want to make this about three games because it's not about three games.
All
nothing,
right.
Nothing is ever about three games. I was actually going back. Somebody sent me a conversation you and I were having in May. And my quote was something along the lines of, I am not bullish on the future of Jonathan Kuminga if the question you're asking me is he going to be a star? I'm not trying to fade the Kuminga. I'm not trying to knock the young man down and say he can't this or he can't that. But I do feel like because of two things, draft position and leaping ability, the bar for him has been set at star. And the conversation surrounding a future contract has been at an astronomical number. And when I look at all of that as the backdrop, I go, no, no. If you're asking me if Jonathan can be good, yes, Jonathan Kuminga can be good. And so maybe this is unfair, but the backdrop that we have set and he has set for his future, to me, and again, it's not just about these three games. I am I'm not out on Jonathan. I'm down on Jonathan Kuminga. And at minimum, these first three games, I would say, are a discouraging start. Because it is my belief that in 2024, if you want to be a wing player that is highly paid in the National Basketball Association, you better be able to hit a three. I think the Warriors as an organization decided that this offseason. We better be able to shoot a lot of threes, and a bunch of them better go in. And when Jonathan Kuminga shoots a three, I tighten up. He is 1 for 9 this year, that's a very small sample. But right now, I am not comfortable with the idea of Jonathan and a big future contract for the Golden State Warriors.
Well, for me, it's too early to really make that determination. And I do think that he gets a little bit of a bad rap based on three games. And I hear a lot of people and, you know, yourself and Grandy and Lucas on our show thread who are ready to give up on Jonathan Kuminga after three games. And I understand that, you know, he is in year number four and you're looking to see that progression. And I'm thinking about other people in his draft class, and I'm just looking across the numbers, and he's got a higher three-point percentage than Cade Cunningham, higher than Jalen Suggs, higher than Josh Giddey, and these are all players who are more widely thought of as good shooters. And I know Jonathan Kuminga doesn't shoot it as often, but I look at where he is in his trajectory, year four, never having played college. He played for the G League Ignite, and he's a guy who is improving. He's gotten better, and yes, he's off to a very slow start as a three-point shooter. And maybe this team is not where he ultimately will fit as an NBA player, and I'm also not ready to give him the money that he reportedly wanted, which is a max contract. And you look at other contracts that other members of his draft class got, and I think that some of them were also grossly overpaid. And so, yeah, he's in a spot where you got to go out there and prove it. You have 82 games to do it. So for me, it's not like stock up, stock down. If I look at it through three games, yeah, stock down, but not so far that I want to sell the stock.
Again, I wouldn't say this if I wasn't already feeling that way. There are a couple of words that keep coming up. You used the word fit. And I don't necessarily think right now that Jonathan Kuminga is a good fit. And here's another word. Every time right now, and last year, by the way, and I won't say every time, I guess, but a lot of the time when I'm watching Kuminga play, whatever he's doing feels forced. And that's my concern. That's my concern. My concern is that last year when the Shams tweet came out about how Jonathan has lost faith in the organization and in Steve Kerr, immediately it was like, oh, more minutes for you. That felt forced. When he shoots a three, it feels forced. It looks like when he's got the ball, everyone's looking at him like, Okay, are you going to do your thing now? And what exactly is your thing? If Jonathan was able to run the floor and finish with his incredible athleticism and have that be happening more within the flow of what the Warriors are trying to do, I'd probably feel really, really good about it. But it doesn't. It doesn't feel that way because it feels like there's two things happening at once. There's the Warriors game, and then there's the let's see what Jonathan can do game. And there are too many times where they're handing him the ball and making him a focal point of the offense to create a shot, and it's just not, he's not very good at it. He's a wonderful finisher. If all of that can happen within the flow, great. Let's see it. But I just think it, they're in a pickle right now because they've got to make a decision on him, and they're down at right now a couple scorers, and so a role is being thrown to him that I don't think he's very good at. And everyone's looking at him like, you're going to be able to do this? Do you want $240 million? That's not a great sideshow for the Warriors to be dealing with this year, in my opinion.
Well, then maybe you could create things for him to where what he can do well, you can have as a part of your offense. Because what I see from their offense is not anything that is really Kuminga-centric. And there are things, and you just mentioned it, things that he does very well. So why don't we build that into the offense, especially now that Steph Curry is out, where you have some sets that are Kuminga-centric. What does Jonathan Kuminga do really, really well in your offense? Well, he could probably get the ball on the wing and score off the dribble and attack the rim and, you know, create his own. So if that's what he can do, then why don't you create some offensive sets that would highlight that? Because ultimately, you're going to play him and you want him to do well. And I do think that he wants to do well. I don't think that he's out there trying to, you know, mail it in or trying to just do his own thing.
Yeah, I don't think he's a problem.
No, but so I think for you as an offense, it's up to you to try to create things that make him successful to where it's going to help your team.
Okay, but then let's discuss why that hasn't happened yet to this point. Like, I don't think that, you know, you say I don't think he's out there, like, causing a problem. I don't think the coaching staff is sitting here going, watch this, let's not do anything for Jonathan and make him try to do it all on his own. Of course not. They're trying to put him in his best position to succeed. And I've heard people pretty close to the organization say that Jonathan Kuminga is not, he's just not a natural out there. He's got a lot of raw skill, but he's just not a natural. And I know he's still young, both in the league and by age. I get all of that. But then again, this is pro sports. How many years do you get to be raw? Like, this is, it's too many. That's the only thing that I would say. It's not even really a criticism. It's just not, you don't get to be raw for 4 or 5 years. You have got, and you can say, well, they haven't given him his time. Well, at least starting through a third of the way last year, they have. And I would argue that at this point, where we sit here today, I would have loved to see a more polished basketball player based on the amount of minutes he's logged.
Well, and if you look at his draft class, he has logged the 17th most minutes a game. So, and he's the number 7 overall pick. So there are many other players who've gotten more on-court time than he has.
Sure.
And you add to that calculus the fact that he was a raw, inexperienced player coming in. So this is not Corey Kispert out of Gonzaga,
but
who played at a high college level for a long time and hit the ground running.
But you know why. Most of the front half of the lottery is going to teams where all they want to do is develop. Jonathan Kuminga was drafted by a team that 2 years later won a ring.
At the same time, you can't then expect him to be more developed if you're not going to play him. You don't. For me, you don't get to have it both ways.
No, but now they have. Like, again, is he a young player? Yes, but like,
he hasn't played that much basketball relative to his draft class.
Okay, relative to his draft class, but relative to life, he has. He has played more basketball than what someone who's as raw as him should look like, in my opinion. Like, he has played well over 200 basketball games.
Yep.
So to say at this point that the Warriors have not given him minutes, I don't think we can ride with that anymore. Like, whether it's
relative. It depends on what you think is, you know, and again, like, what does it take for a player with that level of inexperience to go from where he was to where you want him to be? And that number, it varies. And you just don't know what that number is. And I'm looking at overall minutes. He's played 4,587 minutes, which is 14th in his draft class. And the guys who were ahead of him, even Cade Cunningham, who missed an entire year due to injury, he's played more minutes and he sat out a year. So you're giving Kuminga 21 minutes a night, and you expect him to be all of a sudden in year four, this player that. And for me, the real rat on the table is many fans, and I don't even know what the Warriors want him to be or what they think that he should be. Wrong sound effect. Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Actually, no sound effect was, I think, what you were going
for. No, we were looking for the, which is the rat on the table.
Oh.
The rat on the table is maybe fans want him to be a player that I don't believe he's going to be.
Okay,
he's
what do you mean by that?
He's 1-for-9 from three.
Yeah.
And if you look at his three-point percentage for his career, it is 33%. Do you really think that he's ever going to be a 38 or 39% or a 40% shooter? I don't.
No, he's not. But let's go around the league then and talk about how many players are not the, but a central figure in the scoring process of their team and can't shoot threes. I got Giannis, end of story.
I'm looking at his draft class.
Okay.
Scotty Barnes, 19 a game for Toronto. He shoots 31% from three. He's a 6'7" wing. So there's another guy who is.
But what's the usage? How many threes a game is he shooting?
I'll have to look that up, because he shoots the ball a lot and he plays a lot.
There's two types of three-point shooters. I don't even really care about his percentage. You threw out numbers that are like the elite three-point shooters. I don't need him to be elite, but the shot right now, he's also getting shots that the rest of the NBA doesn't get, because he's getting the Draymond three. He's getting the, I'm out at the three-point line and everyone leaves. He's getting the, I could probably get a snack. GP2 could get me a truly, and I'm still going to be open when he gets back. And he still can't make those. And so if that's the case, then you need to adjust and become a different kind of player. Again, I'm not killing his career, but to me, the thought is, from a lot of Warrior fans and the organization, they want to know if this guy can be at least a number two scorer on a team. Can this guy be 19, 20, 21 a night, your number two scorer in the NBA? I don't believe that he can do that with the shooting looks and percentage that he has.
Well, that's Scotty Barnes is that player, and he's 2 of 11 this year, so he shoots about the same amount of threes. He's basically not a three-point shooter, and he gets you 19 a night, and he does it by attacking, mid-range, finishing, and the rest of it. So for me, it just comes down to what you think that Jonathan Kuminga should be or what you want him to be. Because for me, he's not ever going to be Andrew Wiggins, a guy who can shoot the three. Wiggins can score at all three levels. Kuminga, I don't think will ever be able to score at all three levels. At the basket, yes. Mid-range, off the dribble, yes. Mm-hmm. Three-point shooter, no.
You sure?
I believe he can.
Level?
I believe he can be that.
I am.
And he shows signs of it now
again,
at 21.
I would say it this way: if you want to battle back about the three pointer, this would be my rebuttal. Jonathan Kuminga does very well when the shot is set up for him. He does not do very well when he's setting it up for himself. I don't think he does very well at the second level when he's creating his own shot. I don't even think he does very well attacking the basket when he's creating his own shot. What he's great at is a finisher. He's great on the break. He's great flying through the lane, receiving a pass. All of that is good. But attacking the rim and having an idea of how you want to attack the rim, then if you're getting fouled or you're knocking down your free throw shots, all of these things are getting better. Just for my taste, they're not getting better fast enough. That's just how I feel about what I see right now.
Yeah, and the whole idea about fast enough is interesting, because this is it for him. This is his last year under contract.
That's what I'm getting at.
Well, I mean, he's got 79 more games. So fast enough for me is fascinating, because he gets the whole year, and then either they give him a contract offer or someone else does, and then they have a choice to make.
Or he doesn't have 70-something more games because he's part of a trade.
Yeah, he's untradeable at $7 million, I think.
I don't.
That, to me, would be the ultimate sell low, which I don't think that the Warriors would do. You're going to package him with somebody else. To me, that makes very little sense, but we'll see. Maybe at that point, he's playing so well that some team would be willing to do it.